night in is where it's at. Let's watch this film and have a chat. Like and subscribe now to our show.
Hello, Parents Night In fans. Welcome to Parents Night In here at Inuffa.com. It's Halloween season.
Stop.
Which means we're watching a classic horror thriller.
Mm. Woo!
Ghost Kelly seems to have like a tickle in her bottom.
Whoa! Whoa!
Whoa! Our first Halloween episode of the year 2020, the scariest year on record.
Oh, God. We don't even really need to do a Halloween episode. We could just recount the year.
The entire year has been Halloween.
It has.
To that end, we are watching one of the scariest movies ever.
Ever?
Ever. The Silence of the Lambs.
I don't know if I'd call it the scariest movie ever.
I didn't say the scariest. I said one of the scariest.
I think it's one of the more suspenseful movies. I don't know. Do I think this
Suspense
one is...
Suspense equals scary, Kelly.
Yeah, I guess. I put those in different categories because I don't like scary, but I like suspenseful.
No, suspense is scary. What you don't like is gore.
No, I really don't like gore. No, no, I do not.
You probably know that this is based on a novel written by Thomas Harris, who was a former journalist who had a fascination with serial killers. He wrote Red Dragon first, which was the book that introduced Hannibal Lecter, and decided he loved the character so much he wanted to work him into another book in a much greater capacity. And also decided... Let's have the protagonist be a woman this time, because that's different.
Especially it is different.
For an FBI agent kind of story.
Right.
It turned the whole police procedural kind of thing on its ear by having a woman at the center of it instead.
Yeah. I think there's a lot to be said for that.
Yeah.
It definitely made me pay attention more. I think if I, in high school, if my friends were like, let's watch this movie and it's about a serial killer and it was all men everywhere,
yeah,
I'd be like,
eh.
I've seen this before.
Right. I mean, it's the same principle as they used when they made Alien. They made the main character a woman, which was unheard of for that type of movie at that point.
Right. But like, even right here, you know, they put her in the elevator and she's like a good...
She's a good foot shorter than everybody else.
Yeah, she's below all of the men's shoulders in that elevator.
Yeah. She actually campaigned for this role before the script was even finished. She heard that they were working on it.
Mm.
I think she contacted the screenwriter, Ted Talley, and said, I heard you had a line on a role that I'd be good for. And he was like, well, actually, I think I'm writing it right now. And she said, I know you are. That's the one I want.
Hmm.
Jonathan Demme, the director, originally wanted Michelle Pfeiffer for this character because he had already worked with her before. He's a very unconventional directorial choice for this film, actually.
Yeah.
Because he specialized in like sort of offbeat comedies and stuff.
Yeah.
And he did that Talking Heads movie. I'm not sure why they picked him exactly.
I don't know, but it was magic.
It was magic.
Good thing they did.
Yeah.
All right, these pictures are grisly.
Those are fake. Do you know that? They actually like brought in actresses and made them up to look like corpses and took photos.
Wow.
Initially, Gene Hackman was going to direct it and maybe star in it, and he turned it down because it was too violent, and then Michelle Pfeiffer turned it down because it was too violent.
What's Gene Hackman directed that I would...
That's a good question.
No.
I don't think I can name a Gene Hackman-directed film.
Yeah, well, so it's a good thing he didn't direct this, because I'm not saying it would have not been as good, but...
Well, he definitely would not have been
as good. This is lightning in a bottle, so...
A Hannibal Lecter.
Oh, he was going to star?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that would have been totally wrong.
No.
Then they were thinking Robert Duvall. I love the smell of liver in the morning. I just love the whole visual approach to this movie. There's so many close-ups of characters looking directly at the camera. Almost all of them are looking directly at Clarice.
Mm.
So you're immediately, whether you know it or not, you're in her head at this point because you have her point of view right from the beginning. It's great.
Right.
And Jodie is such a great, plucky little pillar of strength throughout the movie.
Yeah. She's an interesting persona just in general. Like, she's short and slight and like super petite, but she's got a really strong presence.
Yes, she does.
And like crazy blue eyes, and she's got this very quiet, demure voice, but she speaks so straightforwardly and doesn't pull punches.
She's no bullshit.
But it's an interesting mix to hear someone who's so straightforward, especially a strong female character in a movie, who's not like throwing her lines out there.
Right. Well,
like,
yeah.
She does it so perfectly.
Yes, it's very naturalistic and feels effortless. And it's not like a glamorous performance either.
Right.
I think, like, while she was shooting it, she was like, this is not a performance that's going to win an Oscar because it's not flashy.
Did she?
Yes.
Yeah, she should have.
Yep.
I also love that they didn't, like, I'm a woman, don't speak to me like that, or like,
yeah,
he's not letting me do it because I'm a girl. Like, these things happen,
yep,
and it's a theme in the movie, but it's not done in a ham-handed way.
No, they leave it all as subtext, more or less. There's only one scene where they even really bring it up, and it's in the car later when she's talking to Crawford about how the cops behave around her.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he's supposed to be the example for them. So she sort of calls him out on it. And that's the only mention of it in the entire movie.
Yeah. I haven't figured out that guy. Like, I don't know if I like him or not.
Scott Glenn?
Yeah, I don't feel like he's a problem. He just, the male gaze that he gives off lets off a creepy vibe.
That's the point.
No,
you're,
I know,
supposed,
but like,
to not totally be sure what his intentions are with her.
Yeah.
And that,
I don't like that. Not knowing.
It's brilliant. It immediately is off-putting, and like, already with Clarice, you're like, her boss might kind of be a creep. She's already facing an uphill battle.
Mm.
And like, he's the one who's giving her a shot, but you're not sure if there are strings attached.
Right. Here's what I don't know. He looks like a normal person. You could walk down the street.
I think he is a normal person.
You could walk down the street right by him and be like, you're not Buffalo Bill. I say that to people every day. I'm like, you're not Buffalo Bill. He could be one of those people I say that to.
Wait. Every person you walk by on the street, you say, hey, you're not Buffalo Bill.
Yes.
And they're like, thanks, lady.
Buffalo Bill makes me nervous, and it's important to me that I clarify who is and who is not Buffalo Bill.
Besides, Jack Crawford is not nearly as creepy as this motherfucker. Dr. Chilton's a fucking creep.
Yep, he's a dick.
We've had a lot of agents come in here, but I must say I've never met anyone quite as attractive.
Ew.
It's so gross.
I forgot
Baltimore
about that.
Can be quite a fun town if you have the right guide.
Ew.
Yeah. I saw this when I was 15. And even then, I was like, Jesus, man.
Yep. Super creepy.
First of all, don't hit on her. Second, this movie's already the creepiest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Because of him. I also love how the first appearance of Lecter is built up to.
Yeah.
Where they talk about him multiple times and how just horribly dangerous and psychotic he is.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a fucking maniac and he fucking eats people's tongues and all this shit. And then her whole walk to his cell is this agonizing bit of suspense building.
Mm-hmm.
And the shot where we first see him, Hopkins said he wanted to just be standing at attention, waiting for her, because it's the opposite of what the audience is expecting to see when they meet him for the first time, because they build him up as this maniac. Instead, I'll just be calm and polite.
Well, especially since all the other guys were not that.
And I love that philosophy. It's like you always do the opposite of what the audience is expecting to see.
Mm-hmm.
And that's scarier. He's like a coiled snake.
Yeah. He's trying to get in her head.
He's trying to get in her head and, like, tear her apart, and he's expecting she's just gonna
cry and run away.
Crumble, yeah. And she doesn't.
Oh, Dr. Lecter, you're so mean! Bye!
And you... Why, Mr. Lecter, I've never incurred such rudeness from a serial killer before.
Do not presume to tell me what money I do and do not have. You do not know me!
And the way she plays it, like, you can tell that she's just barely holding back her
Just barely holding on, yeah. Her desire to succeed and prove herself outweighs her rage and fear.
Yes. He did that as a joke.
Yeah.
And they kept it. And the director was like, God, you're sick.
Yep.
Jesus, Migs, couldn't you wait till she leaves? What a jerk off. Eh?
She has like a blood vessel broken in her eye.
Yeah, she does. I think she's always had it.
Oh, it's not like just this movie?
I don't think it's just in this movie.
Oh.
I don't. I mean, I could be wrong about that. But
maybe she should see a physician. Should I call her and let her know? She might not know.
You're going to call Jodie Foster?
Yeah.
Do you have her number?
555-JODY.
555-JODY.
Leave off the last E.
Where did you get this number from?
For savings.
Leave off the last E for savings? There's no E in savings, Kelly.
Oh.
You could
the 1-800 mattress people used to do it.
Yes, they had an extra S.
They had an extra number there.
No, they had an extra S for savings,
oh.
Kelly. What are you drinking?
I have decided to try to copy a recipe of a delicious, tasty beverage that I had when we visited Mexico earlier this year. It is a tamarind margarita. Tamarindo.
What is tamarind?
It looks a little bit like ginger. I think it's sort of like a root.
You're a ginger.
Mm-hmm. And it's delicious. You rim the glass with lime and tahine. Do you want to try a sip?
Well, it's not bad.
Right. Isn't that good?
Can't even taste the tequila.
No.
And that's a good thing.
Nope.
Because tequila tastes like the devil's anus. I am drinking our gateway wine, Segezio.
Segezio is delicious.
Segezio Zinfandel. I thought it would be fitting since Hannibal Lecter is a connoisseur of fine wines. He's so kind of taken with her. He doesn't want to admit it yet, but he finds her so interesting that he's like, yeah, I'm actually going to help her.
Right. And
I kind of like this one.
And I'm going to wait a long time.
I'm going to toy with her a lot. Yeah. This actress, her name is Brooke something, had to gain 25 pounds for the role because they needed her to be very thick.
They needed her to be a big old fat woman.
Were she a great big old fat person? And that's Ted Levine as Buffalo Bill, and he's fucking brilliant as well. He's terrifying.
Such a creep.
Yes. I mean, he's got such a weird voice anyway, like just his natural speaking voice was like this.
What have I seen him in other than this?
He was on Monk.
I did not watch that show.
I didn't either. He was in Shutter Island, and he was super creepy in that, too. And after this, of course, he was typecast. Mm. Or, you know, at least offered to be typecast as creeps.
How can you not?
Yeah, I mean, he's such a believable maniac in this movie. I want to go all the way in the trunk. I think this was a Ted Bundy tactic. He would pretend to have a broken arm so that...
So that nice ladies
would offer him help, and then he could get them into his car.
I'm the kind of person who would do this. I probably shouldn't get anyone's
Don't ever help a stranger, Kelly. That's the lesson learned here. Stranger danger. Especially if they have a cast. The cast is fake, always.
Yes. Good. I love the jackets made in Indonesia.
Oh, good. It's 55% polyester. I was hoping that way it won't shrink so much. Ted Levine's interviews about playing this character are pretty interesting, too. Like, he was...
Did he have trouble sleeping at night?
He was pretty grossed out by it all. Like, I mean, he totally committed to it, but, like, when he talks about it now, he's like,
Well, good. I'm glad to know that he wasn't like,
no, he
it was really fun.
He definitely did not take any of it home with him. What's funny, though, is, like, he and Brooke on set were, like, really close, which is almost like a weird Stockholm Syndrome thing, even though it's fake. When she talks about it, she's like, yeah, people probably thought that was pretty odd, that he was the one that I hung out with on the set.
But I think that there's something very... There has to be some serious bonding that takes place when you have to be, both of you, in such tight quarters, in such a vulnerable position.
Yeah.
It almost takes trust, I think, that you have to build up, and then it makes sense that you're kind of on set together.
And all the actors said that Jonathan Demme kept the tone on set very light and fun, which sort of seems counterintuitive for such a grisly movie, but at the same time, it keeps everyone... from going insane.
Right.
Because you're dealing with this horrible subject.
This is seriously dark shit.
Right. So he just kept everything fun for everyone.
There is nothing attractive to look at in this movie.
Yeah, it's very earthy and bleak
looking. That guy is so creepy.
That's
when
Bob.
When a body comes out of the water, lots of times there's like raisin things in there. Also, would you go on a date with me? Maybe we can have turkey sandwiches and chips. And or you could have chili, and I could get maybe a chicken pot pie. I don't know.
He's opened up a world of culinary possibilities on this date. Or maybe we can go for tapas. I don't even know what that is, but I hear it's good.
Is tapas? Tapas.
Tapas.
I think it's tapas. Like you go to the restaurant and someone does a little tap dance.
Or you tap your table and say, "Excuse me, waiter, I would like some food."
Don't bring me any of those small plates. I like the big plates. Ma'am, sometimes when a body goes in the river, it makes me want to ask you on a date.
That's a fucking weird turn on, man. Jesus.
Well, you know, I spend a lot of time in the seafoam green basement room with dead bodies.
It makes me think I'd like to take a look at a live body.
Why do we sound like Harry Carey?
I don't know her.
If you found a moth in a dead body, what would you do with the moth?
You know who that actor was playing the creepy guy asking the girl out for tapas?
I don't. Asking the girl out for tapas.
He was Bob the Goon in Batman.
Bob the Goon in
Jack
Batman.
Jack Nicholson's sidekick.
Oh. Bob the Goon was the character's name?
That was the character's name, yeah. He's also in City Slickers as the cook.
Did they ever call him Bob the Goon?
They just call him Bob.
Oh. She doesn't react to Cross-Eyed Man the same way that she reacts to the other man.
No, because he's not threatening.
Right, she's not threatened
by
him.
She's just this dork who thinks...
She's like, oh, this is it's a relief to be hit on by a dorky Cross-Eyed man.
She's like, he likes me. That's cute. I'm not going to go out with him, but...
I want to just point out while we're here.
Yes?
This is another thing I do not want to do. I do not want to be in a room with moths and butterflies, even if they are behind screens, because the sound that they make is horrifying.
The sound that moths make is horrifying?
All that flitting around in the cages? No, don't. I don't like it. No! It's a weird noise.
That's the weirdest thing to be scared of.
That's like the fava bean noise a little bit. No!
Ooh, I wonder if that was on purpose.
Isn't it weird when you watch the news and they're like, I'm Susan B. Boobs, and I'm Craig Peters Sports. And I'm Jiminy Jeffers. And only the sports guy says what he does.
Oh, I thought Susan B. actually reported on boobs. I would like to watch that show. I'm Craig Thayer, sports. I'm Susan B. Boobs.
No, that was just the name I gave her. I'm Tits McGee. And I'm Craig Gregory, sports.
I'm Tits McGee. Actually, I'm not reporting on boobs. I'm reporting on the weather. So you saw Red Dragon, I know that, because that was one of the two movies that you've trembled during. Did you ever see Hannibal?
Yeah.
What did you think of it?
It was okay.
It's okay. It's way over the top.
Yeah.
Like...
He eats Ray Liotta's brains while he's sitting at the table alive. Yeah. Like, that's a lot.
There's that shit. And it's not entirely the fault of the movie. Like, the book was just ridiculously operatic in its depravity. It seemed like Thomas Harris was, like, daring them to make a movie of it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're going to make another movie of my books? Try this, assholes.
Why? Did he not like the movies?
I think he did. I don't know why he felt the need to go so...
Challenge extended.
Yeah. It was, like, just so, let's see how gross we can get.
Yeah.
It was 1998, and that was the Howard Stern era.
Yeah.
Everything was dialed up to 11.
Everything.
But come on. Thomas, show a little restraint.
And that when, like, WWE was at the top of their game, too.
That was the DX era.
Yeah. And South Park.
And South Park, yep. At the time, I admired the fact that everyone was just swinging for fences.
Yeah.
Like, fuck it, let's just say what we mean. Like, that aspect of it I thought was cool at the time. But then after a few years, it was like, all right.
Yeah.
It's getting tiresome now.
We've gotten pretty far away from that
in
2020.
We've gotten very far away from it now. Like, you can't joke about anything anymore.
No.
Reality is somewhere in between.
You can joke about things, but you can't joke about people.
You can't joke about groups of people.
Right.
Anymore.
Like, some of the things that were said back then were just...
No, I agree.
It was almost like, we're not racist anymore. We can say whatever we want.
Right.
It was like, nope, you're still racist.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's... There's a balance. Find the balance. That's all. Red Dragon is pretty great. I rewatched that actually last night.
I want to say that Red Dragon was maybe the second thing I'd ever seen Ed Norton in.
It was the second thing after Primal Fear?
Yeah. His performance in that movie is nothing, like, to write home about.
He's good.
He's good, but he plays like a straight man. It's not an Edward Norton.
It's not one of his highlights.
Yeah, it's not. He's not a scene chewer in that movie.
I like him in that movie because he takes you through the police procedural aspect of it so well.
Yes. Right.
And that was something that was missing for me from Manhunter, which a lot of people consider a much superior version. I don't at all. I think Manhunter just feels like a run-of-the-mill 80s thriller. The best part about Red Dragon is the Will Graham character discovering things along the way and figuring out why this killer is doing what he's doing.
You know, what's interesting about it, it really makes Clarice look like a Mary Sue because, like, she's just, like, plucked out of the whole FBI. They're like, oh, look at that skinny girl.
Oh, she
probably
just gets
is,
her
like,
opportunity.
Something. And then, like, they put her in this role, and then what, she just solves a murder, and, like, all these guys who have been doing this for years don't even know what a buffalo is. And they're like, Buffalo Bill doesn't even mean anything. And she's like, oh, yeah, James Gum is my bitch. And then they're like, but you're a girl, and you have boobs and a vagina, and so, like, I don't really even know how this happened or why. Why are you even here? Like, you know what? I know why. Because if they got a man, he couldn't have fit under the garage door because of the jack, and his penis would have gotten in the way, and stupid Mary Sue's.
Well, this hypothetical guy has a big dick, apparently. If he couldn't fit under that garage door. Oh, I bashed my dick on the door.
How many guys can say that?
God damn it.
What is Mary Sue's male counterpart?
My Morningwood's going to be crooked from now on.
What's his counterpart?
Gary Stew.
Gary Stew? Anyway, Gary Stew has a big penis.
Well, Gary, they plucked Gary Stew out of nowhere with his giant penis and his awesome hands.
His hands, wow. He's got great hands.
What do you know about Gary Stew? Giant dick. Great hands.
Big dig. Awesome hands. Good at tickling boobies.
Jesus.
I don't even know what that means. So to answer your question about Red Dragon. Red Dragon's a really well-made thriller and borrows a lot from this movie. But that makes sense because it's supposed to be a direct prequel to this movie. It should be done in the same style. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Edward Norton is a really good everyman protagonist. And Ralph Fiennes is excellent as Francis Dolarhyde.
Yeah, I do like Ralph Fiennes in that a lot.
Is this barbaric, awful, murderous asshole, but he's also
very
sympathetic.
Yep.
Because they really hammer home the point that he became this thing because he grew up in an abusive environment.
Yeah. How could he have turned out any better?
Right.
Given what he's been through.
He's not in control of his own psyche.
Yeah.
And, you know, Hopkins is back chewing scenery as Hannibal.
Yes, which is fun.
Which is fun. I mean, it's not anywhere near the level of this performance, but it was fun to see him again in that role.
Here's the beginning of their quid pro quo, or as Austin Powers called it, squid pro row. Squid pro row, Dr. Evil. Yeah, Ted Levine was talking about how he had a lot of trouble, like, fully treating her as an object. And that's the mentality he had to get into to play the characters. She had to look at her as nothing but a piece of meat, basically.
But I actually really liked that scene where he struggled because she was like, I want to see my mommy.
He was like, crumble. Oh, yeah. Shit. Right. And then he has to, like, squash it.
Right. He has to, like, you know, swallow it down and be like, move on.
Put the fucking lotion on. You know what? A couple months, it's going to be White Russian season again.
Woo! Justin, when is it ever not White Russian season?
It's not a good summer drink, I feel like. Milk is a bad choice.
Not when it's ice cream.
Kelly?
What?
Shh.
Maybe that guy earlier should have said, hey, that woman went into the lake and then she came out with something in her throat, but it's never not White Russian season, so let's go get a cocktail.
That would have been a really extraneous point he was making. Lots of times when women come out of the water, there's like leaves and things in the mouth. Want to go get a White Russian? I like them. I feel like when I look into your eyes, I see that dead woman and think, maybe she would have enjoyed a White Russian.
Oh, no.
Maybe that would have been preferable to her than what actually happened to her.
If you were given a choice between White Russian and being found at the bottom of a river with a moth in your gullet, which would you choose?
Oh, that's a Harry Carey question.
Yes, it is.
It's a simple question, Clarice. Just say White Russian and we'll move on.
Just answer it and we'll move on.
Took a disturbing turn.
It did. You know what's fun about this movie?
What?
If I go back to the girl power thing for a second. So many men in the movie bungle things up.
They do.
And you know who saves it?
The girl.
The girl.
Yeah, all the men bungle
Good
things
job,
up, actually.
Good job, girl.
Crawford's a hack. Not Crawford. Chilton is a hack.
Yeah.
Well, Crawford does make a mistake later in the movie when they go to the wrong house.
Can I tell you something else?
What?
There have been many, many occasions in Parents' Night in History where I've brought up the Gilmore Girls, but I'm going to do it again.
Fuck.
Do Do you know the name of the high school that Rory goes to?
Is it Jack Crawford High School?
It's not Jack Crawford
High School. Is it Dr. Chilton High School?
It's Chilton Academy.
Is it?
Yeah. Or Chilton Prep or Chilton something.
Did the founder ogle the girls and smile at them creepily?
No. I always wondered if there was a connection there. Like if they...
I doubt it.
Well, Amy Sherman Palladino really likes to make pop cultural references all of the time.
Maybe then.
You know what? This is the perfect time.
Are you
going to... For the first time in this episode where I'm going to look it up on Google.
Oh, yeah. All right. Look it up on Google. See if Kelly is right. He's right. She is looking up Gilmore Girls.
Oh, yeah. Guess what?
What? Is it named after Dr. Chilton?
Nobody has made the connection.
Oh, maybe you're the first. You should add it to IMDb and then credit yourself.
With a lie? I don't know if it's true.
No, say...
Should I call Amy Sherman Palladino?
Yes. You have her number too?
It's 5...
Is it the same as Jodie Foster's?
ASP...
One? One?
Yeah, that's a good
ASP
one.
ASP one.
Yeah.
She's the first Amy Sherman Palladino, I think.
She wears fun hats.
Like, literally?
She wears a lot of hats.
Oh.
She's a hat person.
Oh, wait. Was she a great big hat person? Look at his new digs.
This is a fancy setup. I'd like to live in a museum.
It's a giant steel cage. He lives in Hell in a Cell.
I think it would take a lot of practice for me to flare my nostrils with every syllable. Actually, I'm being loud, and my nose is flaring with every syllable. I'm glad this is not a camera show.
Why?
Because that was hideous. Good evening, ladies and germs. If you're wearing socks, you better hold on to them, because I'm about to knock them off with my face.
The air coming out of my flared nostrils is about to blow your socks off.
You better straighten your tie and hold on to your hat, because here comes my nose wind.
Why do you need to straighten your tie? So it doesn't choke you to death when it blows backwards?
Yes.
Okay.
This is where he breaks down the actual motivation of
Buffalo
Bill. We're
breaking it down. Motivation.
It was very 80s. This is where the close-ups looking directly at the camera really get uncomfortable.
They're getting closer. It's very uncomfortable.
Wow.
Goodbye, Clary. I'm going to touch your finger.
Ew. That's gross.
Because it looks lovely.
Ew.
I wonder what your finger would feel like up my nose.
Ew.
That's why I flare my nostrils so much. So
I'm running away.
Fantasize about your finger.
No.
Up both nostrils.
I'm leaving.
Hey, Clarice.
Why are you rude?
I have boogers. I haven't blown my nose for several days. I was hoping you could help me out.
I'm not happy with where this has gone.
What? I love the score of this movie as well. It's very unconventional for like a horror type movie.
Mm.
It's like funereal.
Yeah, it's sad.
Mournful. It's Howard Shore. That's what he specializes in. He also did the music for Seven.
It's Jim Pember. Now talk to him, damn it.
Pember, you look great. Oh, Pember, Jim. May I call you Jim? You've never looked better.
If I had to guess how to spell your name, I'd say it was a P, and then an E, and the M.
Tell you what, Jim. Blow one blood bubble if I'm right.
Oh, God! No! That's terrible.
Bloop.
That's terrible.
I'm right. I got his name right. Woohoo!
That's terrible. Oh, I'm sorry that I opened up that line of
Woo!
Fun.
I can ruin anything you say.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's my power.
He knew the first victim, Kelly. He knew her. She has traveled to Belvedere, Ohio to find out something about Frederica Bimmel.
That's a weird name.
Bimmel?
Frederica Bimmel.
Hello, my name is Frederica Bimmel. I like swimming and exercise. I also like beer, poker, walking, swimming, and sleeping.
Walking?
Some people really like walking.
I also like beer, poker, and walking. Those are my hobbies.
She said swimming again, too.
She said swimming again. Yeah.
She really likes to swim.
Oh, here it is. Goodbye Horses.
Your favorite. Also Jay's favorite.
Jay's favorite, yes. Who's the band that recorded this song?
I don't know. Would you like me to look it up?
I could look
on
it up.
On the Googs?
Just look stuff up on Google.
On the great googly moogly?
Q Lazarus. Will you fuck me? He talks like he's a tape that's been slowed down.
Yeah, he does.
Fuck me. What a strange activity.
Mm.
To videotape yourself, tucking your sack back. This was his idea, too. He was like, oh, let me try this. It's something anyone could do just to see what you look like without it. Jay has certainly tried it.
Seems like you'd be smushing the boys.
Smushing my misters. Let me just see what it looks like. Oh, I squished my misters!
There was a time my mom cut my bangs. They came out a little bit like that.
It was a time that my mom tucked her sack back.
No! I was trying to change the subject.
Oh, the subject.
Yeah, so when I was in fifth grade, my mom cut my bangs. And
why would she do that to you?
There was an accidental unevenness. So and she was cut like, them all, oh, shit.
She cut it all the way back to your forehead.
Yeah.
What kind of name is James?
James. Leave the less off for savings.
Leave the less. Okay, that actually works.
Woo!
Hi, I'm Jim Gum. I'll show you a woman's suit made of real women. My name is James, but leave the last S off for savings. I don't think I'd go into that house if that person answered. There's a car in here somewhere. No, I'm going to stay out here. I prefer that.
I'm not going in any strange person's house that looks like that on the outside and looks like that on the inside with that weird guy answering the door.
And is near the railroad tracks.
I am not doing any of the things.
Anyone who lives near the railroad tracks is a sick person.
Wrong side of the tracks.
She's on the wrong side of the tracks, Clarice.
I need to go investigate on the wrong side of the tracks, Jane Gum.
I was hoping you would finish with that.
Thanks.
Why did I tell you to spread your legs?
Just in case you have a gun up your butt.
So it falls out?
Yeah. Fadonk.
It is amazing to me that this was all a set, because it looks like someone's real creepy-ass fucking murder basement.
Hell yeah, it does.
Jesus. Pretty sure we looked at multiple houses that had basements like this.
Oh, God.
In our various...
At least three.
House hunting searches. When they built this set, they decided to make it much more expansive than the house because they wanted this to be like she's leaving reality and going inside his mind, basically.
Yeah.
Oh no, he has night vision goggles. And this is the first time in the movie you really get outside her point of view and get inside someone else's.
Mm-hmm. So creepy.
Yep.
That is the creepiest moment when she's like...
Where he almost touches her?
Yeah, he like comes so close to her. He really likes those butterflies and moths.
The butterfly represents change, from caterpillar to pupa, and thence into beauty.
Clarice is a full-blown agent now.
Congratulations, Clarice. So proud of you.
Congratulations.
I wish you all the best in your career.
Ardelia's proud of you too. So is Jack Crawford.
Here's sort of the payoff for what you were saying earlier, where... You're not sure if you trust Jack Crawford, and he seems like he's leering at her. And the scene, he seems to be very genuine.
Yes, he does.
He likes her and is maybe attracted to her, but the main thing is like, I'm really proud of you, and now I'm going to go home.
Right.
I don't know why she keeps saying Dr. Lecter. Like, he hung up the phone. There'd be a dial tone now.
Sometimes Dr. it doesn't Lecter. Happen right away, though. Sometimes
Dr. Lecter.
The dial tone sticks.
Dr. Lecter. Dr. Lecter. Dr. Lecter.
That's a really great song. You should remix it and turn it into the club version.
Dr. Lecter. Dr. Lecter. Dr. Lecter. Dr. Lecter.
Larry Bonney played the FBI instructor.
Casey Lemons played Ardelia Mapp.
Masha Skorobogobatov played young Clarice.
Really unpronounceable name.
I know.
Congratulations, you've just completed Silence of the Lambs. How do you feel, Justin Barrett?
I feel good. It's a good movie.
That's great. And when you were going over the finish line there, what were you thinking just right at the very end of this grueling task?
I'm hungry. I want some meat.
Like cheeseburger or steak? What does a hungry man like you crave after such a wonderful victory?
People.
I gotta go.
Yeah, that's a horrifying film. It is.
It's one of the greatest suspense thrillers of all time.
Yes. It's got some amazing acting.
Yes, it does. And both of them won well-deserved Oscars.
But it's the kind of movie where, like, I can't imagine myself watching this over and over and over again. I know you can.
I have watched it many, many times.
Yes, I know.
It's an example of a basically perfect film.
Yeah.
For what they set out to do, they did it absolutely perfectly. Same way, like, The Princess Bride is a perfect movie.
Yeah.
They wanted to make a thriller that would just make everyone's skin crawl. Mm-hmm. That had great performances and great set pieces and a really off-putting visual style.
Yeah.
And it was from a director who was not known for at all making scary movies.
Right.
Like, it's bizarre that...
It is totally bizarre.
This guy who does, like, quirky comedies is like, oh, I'm going to make a movie that's going to scare everyone to death, basically.
Someone probably said, you can't scare me. And he was like, oh, yeah?
Challenge accepted.
Right. Anthony Hopkins is thebomb.com /savings.
The extra S at the end of Hopkins is for savings. His real name is Anthony Hopkin, but he added the extra S for savings. He also hopes to maybe grab a white Russian with you on a date, along with Cross-Eyed Boy and Bob the Goon.
Bob the Goon, Cross-Eyed Boy. Hey, can I get anybody a white Russian? Bob? Goon? Cross-Eyed Larry?
Are you hitting on me, Cross-Eyed Larry? Yes, I sure am.
I couldn't tell because I don't know who you're looking at.
I'm looking at everyone. That's why I'm cross-eyed. Silence of the Lambs is a fucking masterpiece, Kelly.
It is. It's pretty damn good.
Pretty damn good.
Yeah.
It's Jean-Claude Van Damme good.
Jean-Claude Double Damn Van Damme good.
It's Rob Van Damme good.
Clarice Starling.
Will there be a musical version of Silence of the Lambs on Broadway?
Silence of the Lambs. Be quiet. Silence of the Lambs. Shh.
Hannibal the Cannibal. Jesus. My name is Hannibal the Cannibal. And there's a million parts I haven't et.
Thanks for watching, everybody. Don't forget to click that subscribe button and follow us on Twitter, MeWe, and Facebook.